What better way to celebrate 45 years as a congregation than to open God's Word? So as we turn to Psalm 23, I think it's important for us to realize that really this psalm can be summed up in a few short words. God with us. God is with the shepherd. God is with the sheep. We see that God is with the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And indeed, he's with us today as well. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved passages in all of Scripture. It instills in us a deep confidence in trusting God. We have likely heard sermons on this before, and we've read this in our own private devotional time. So I pray that as we look into God's Word today, we don't get lost in the familiar. Now, sometimes something we're familiar with, we glaze over and we don't really pick out the nuggets of truth that are there. So my prayer for us this morning is that our hearts and minds will be opened afresh to learning something new and exciting from this amazing piece of Scripture. In the text, we see God as a loving shepherd who tends his sheep with love, gentleness, and care. We are encouraged to obey God and follow his commands in our lives. God is demonstrated to be our only source of hope for eternal life. David grew up caring for the family sheep. He was familiar with sheep. He knew how they acted. He knew firsthand what their needs were. He also knew firsthand what their perils would be. He cared for the sheep with tenderness and compassion in much the same way that God cares for us. So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. Derek Kidner says in his introduction and commentary to the Psalms that depth and strength underlie the simplicity of this psalm. Its peace is not escape. Its contentment is not complacency. There is readiness to face deep darkness and imminent attack. And the climax reveals a love which homes toward no material goal, but to the Lord himself. May that be our goal as well. That peace and tranquility, the opening three verses, transition to scary and challenging experiences where God's protecting presence wins the day. The sheep in this psalm, like us, live in the real world and the harsh realities that this life brings. God doesn't remove us from the realities of this world, but his continual presence gives us hope to carry on. King David wrote Psalm 23 as a charming poem. In these six short verses, he skillfully contrasts a number of human experiences. In verse 2, we see peaceful tranquility contrasted with the dangers in verse 4. Evil in verse 4 is contrasted with good in verse 5. And there can be times of soulful vigor in verse 3 that are contrasted with ominous gloom in verse 4. Perhaps you can see these experiences wrapped up in your own life as you look back. I found this to be fascinating. Names are important, especially in biblical times, and especially when it comes to the names for God. There are many names used for God in the Old and New Testament. But in this particular passage, it is interesting to note that the very first word in the Hebrew text and the very last word in the Hebrew text are Yahweh. In our Bibles, in English translation, we translate that as the Lord in all capital letters. verses referring, the first verse refers to Yahweh as the shepherd, whereas the term for Yahweh in verse 6 relates to God as king. All the activities of the shepherd and the king are bookended by this name for God, Yahweh. So why use Yahweh? There's so many different names in the Bible. Why choose Yahweh in this case? It's fascinating to note that the term Yahweh is used to describe a covenantal name for the God of Israel. To enter into covenant, one is entering into a promise. As we see in this text, the shepherd is making a number of promises to the sheep. He's entered into a covenant. So the use of Yahweh is very significant and helpful in understanding the context of the promises that God enters into in Psalm 23. God himself is making a covenant with his people, and with David in particular. God is committing himself to be David's shepherd, his guide, his provider, his sustainer, his constant companion. God will be faithful. He has given his word to David, and he will be true to his word. So we see God as a covenantal God for the people of Israel. Another important aspect of the name Yahweh is as translated, I am. I am is a term of eternal presence. God always was, God currently is, and God always will be is wrapped up in that term of the great I am. And look at how present God is in this psalm. He is present with his sheep in the green pastures. He's with them by the quiet waters. He is with them in a soul restoration aspect as well. He's with them along the path. He's with them in the shadow of death in that valley. He's with his sheep in the presence of their enemies, and he's with them in his house. The great I am is present with us at all times. How can this be? How can God be with each one of us as individuals? Not only us in the here and now, but all through history. How can God be with us individually? See, Jesus came to earth as both God and man. When he came in bodily form. Jesus could not be with every person on earth in bodily form. Do you ever wish you could just chat with Jesus? Ask him some questions? Would we even know what to say, right? But if you had that opportunity to talk to Jesus one-on-one, would that not be amazing? But how can that be in a world of, what, we're 7 billion people or something like that now? One person can't be with everyone all at once. So Jesus came to earth. He died on the cross for our sins. But then he went back to heaven. A big reason why he went back to heaven is so he could release the Holy Spirit on us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us as believers. The Holy Spirit is with us. God with us. In the here and the now. Oh, we don't get to see him face to face. If Kenneth could chat with God, with Jesus face to face right here in Lucan, then the people in Seattle wouldn't be able to. Or the people in Cairo, people in Jerusalem wouldn't be able to communicate with them. But because the Holy Spirit is present with us, each one of us has a direct line to communicate with God. God is with us. Look at that throughout this psalm, how present God is in this psalm. He's present with the sheep in the green pastures, the quiet waters, the soul restoration, along the path, in the valley of the shadow of death. Have you experienced that in your life? You've gone through a difficult time, and God has been with you. You've felt his presence with you. We have experience of that, and next week I'll be preaching again, and I'm going to go into a little bit more of our story as a family. And what we endured with God with us in a difficult time. So I hope you're able to come back next year, and next week, and I'll break down and cry before you again. But anyways, God is with us in all those times. The great I Am is constantly present with us. So Jesus went back to heaven and released the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. The great I Am is now present in our lives. He is present in the good times as well as the bad times. It's those challenging times that we live through. That valley of the shadow of death. And many of you have experienced God's presence with you in challenging times as well. Using the shepherd metaphor, David draws on the intimate nature of the relationship between the caregiver and the cared for. Shepherds during biblical times were everything to their flock. They were the guide, the provider, the veterinarian, and the protector. They spent countless hours together. And the shepherd knew the idiosyncrasies of each individual sheep. We might look at a flock and just see a flock, a bunch of sheep. But that shepherd knows each one individually. He knows them intimately, just as God knows us intimately. He knows what makes each one of us unique. He knows the things we struggle with. The things you struggle with might not be the same things I struggle with. He also knows the things we enjoy. And just as the ancient shepherds cared for the sheep, so God cares for our needs and protects us from evil. Sheep are dependent creatures. They need the care and protection of the shepherd. Like sheep towards the shepherd, we need to trust and rely on the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. It's interesting to note that sheep in this poem understand that shepherd can be trusted. The sheep allowed the shepherd to lead and guide them. They were obedient to the shepherd's leading. Are we? Are we obedient to the shepherd's leading? I would lie if I stood before you this morning and said, I always got that right. I think I'm in good company, though. I don't think I'm alone. Or maybe it's bad company if we don't obey, right? It's all in how we phrase that, right? And when we do choose to go our own way, how does that work out for us? You know, maybe there's the pleasure in sin for a season, right? But after a while, we get that gnawing guilt. We know we've done wrong. We know we've sinned. We know we've chosen to go our own way. It often leads to heartache and pain or anguish of our soul. That's when we need to repent and humbly come back to the Good Shepherd. Perhaps that's where you're at today. Perhaps there's something that's kind of hindering that relationship you have with Jesus right now. There's a sin in your life that you need to deal with, you need to repent of. Is there something holding you back from your relationship with God? Then verse 3 is for you, where he says, he restores my soul. He's in the soul restoration business. He forgives us and mends the brokenness that resulted from our sin. Once I'm restored, then he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is with us along the path, encouraging us to make good choices that honor God. He is holy and righteous, and it's our desire to live holy and righteous lives out of praise and love for him. That should be our motive, to love God, to praise him. Our willing obedience is born out of our love for God and our deep appreciation for the restorative work in our soul. We desire to honor his name, to lift him up out of reverence, love, and gratitude. Today is Celebration Sunday here at CBC. Do you know why we exist? Do you know why we exist as a church? Why we exist as individuals here? We exist to glorify and celebrate Yahweh, the great I Am. To honor his name. Can you hear an amen? Amen. We'll do a quick run-through of the various verses here. And as we look at the settings of the psalm, perhaps you can identify with where you are today. First off, the Lord is my shepherd. For the Lord to be my shepherd, or to be your shepherd, we must have a relationship with him. Do you? Have you asked Jesus into your life to take away your sin, to enter in, to be your good shepherd, your constant I am? Do you have a relationship with him? I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. God provides for us. He gives us times of peace. He knows what we need, and he continually is with us to guide us and meet our needs. He gives us times of peace. He restores my soul. Have you ever felt burnt out? Like you're always on the run and have nothing left to give? This is a common problem in our culture here in the West. We fill our schedules and then find we have little time for God or little time to rest. We overextend ourselves as we constantly strive to keep everything on track. God desires to give us his good rest. He wants to actively revitalize our soul. Do you need to lay down a busy schedule at his feet and let him restore your soul? Can I be honest with you? This week, I was struggling with this. I can tend to fill my schedule too much. And I think a lot of us can probably identify with this, right? You get so much packed into your schedule that you might even read God's word, but is it sinking in? Do we just kind of do a cursory read through, check the box, you did your daily devotional, right? I need to learn from this passage right here what it means to rest in God. To truly just step back and say, you know what? That tyranny of the urgent, you know, those things we got to get done that can consume us, I need to push that aside and focus on the more important. That's my relationship with Jesus Christ. And that impacts the relations around us as well. He restores our soul also through the forgiveness of sin. May not be a sin to stuff our schedules full. We're doing good things. We're doing good deeds, right? It's not necessarily a sin to have a full schedule. It just sometimes takes away from what God could really bless us in. But he does also restore our souls through the forgiveness of sins. Do you have something you need to confess to God or to repent of? He promises to forgive us and restore our relationship with him. He guides us in paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Are we obediently following Jesus as he guides us? We bear his name if we are Christians, so we need to follow his lead. We can't just give lip service. We need to obey. Our thoughts, words, and actions need to match up with God's commands in Scripture. We ought to do this out of love and reverence for God. How are we doing at this? By allowing him to guide. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Have you ever been scared? I mean, really scared. Have you ever thought that you're in such a place financially that you may lose your home? Have you ever been at a point where you've experienced a traumatic event? Or perhaps you fear for your life or the life of a loved one? Have you questioned where God was in that moment? Or did you experience the presence of God in that time? In a very real and powerful way. Have you questioned where God is in that moment? Or did you experience the presence of God in the midst of your pain? When we walk with Jesus in those dark times, he promises to be with us. Remember that Yahweh refers to the great I Am who promises to be eternally with us at all times. God is with us in our time of need. Arguably, the most important part of the passage is summed up in the words, "For you are with me." Think about that. God with us. God is bigger than all our problems. He cares deeply for us and has the power to act on our behalf. I want you to hear this. That doesn't mean that he'll take away all our trials and suffering. Absolutely not. But far better than that, he promises to be with us in the midst of them. I'll say that again. This does not mean that he will take away our trials and suffering. Far better than that, he promises to be with us in the midst of them. If you could have easy street, if you could live the easy life and not have trials and suffering, but you did that without God, that is not worth living. I would rather go through seasons of trials and suffering than know that my God is with me and he's caring for me. How about you? We grow through the challenges of life that when we lean into God and trust him to guide us through. Did you notice that the shepherd didn't give instructions to the sheep? Maybe give them a map and then send them on their way through the valley of the shadow of death? No, he was with the sheep. He was present. And he came prepared. He was with them every step of the way, and he's prepared to defend and guide them. The next part says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Some scholars suggest that the rod and the staff are kingly symbols of power and judgment, such as a scepter. Others see them more as a cudgel, which is a small club worn on the belt, which would be used for defense. And then the shepherd's staff, which is used to walk with or to help round up the sheep. Regardless, these are seen as a great source of comfort to the weary traveler. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." In Old Testament times, defeated enemies could often be reluctant guests Defeated enemies could be reluctant guests to watch the victorious engage in a lavish feast. But you are God's invited guest. God's lavish provision is matched by his regal protection. "You've anointed my head with oil." In ancient Near Eastern culture, it was customary to anoint a welcomed guest with fragrant oil. It symbolized the fullness of the Lord's provision and enjoyment. "My cup overflows." God's abundant love for us overflows. In Old Testament times, to eat and drink at someone's table established a mutual bond of loyalty. It could be seen as a covenant. Remember that word? Covenant. Between them. "Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life." The goodness and faithfulness of being in God's presence far outweighs anything this world can throw at us. "And my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever." We are eternally secure in our relationship with a covenantal I am, God with us. The great I am shepherd of Psalm 23 led and guided David thousands of years ago. The same I am was present throughout the Old and New Testament. He was present in the good times and the bad times. He's always seeking to lead and guide his people, whether they wanted to follow and obey or not. And today we celebrate the shepherd who leads and guides us as individuals and as a church. May we seek to follow him in all that we think, say, and do. God with us in the Old Testament. There are many examples of God being with his people in the Old Testament and making a covenantal promise with them. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God made a covenant with David that his descendants would sit upon the throne of Israel. God also promised that David's throne would be established forever. This was a precursor to Jesus' eventual birth as a descendant of David. and the eternal, capital K, King. The prophet Isaiah gives further revelation of God's plan to redeem humanity through David's descendants when he says in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and she shall name him Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God is with us in the New Testament. Isaiah 7:14 is quoted almost verbatim by the angel when he appears to David's descendant, Joseph. He appears to Joseph in a dream in Matthew chapter 1, and in verses 20 to 24, it says, "But when he," Joseph, "had thought this over," referring to quietly breaking up with his betrothed, Mary, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place so that what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. 'Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel,'" which is translated means God with us. "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife." Again, we see that God with us, the covenantal promise. The concept of God being a shepherd is sprinkled throughout the Bible. Psalm 23 is perhaps the best known. It was closely followed by the parable of the Good Shepherd in the Gospel of John. Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. Specifically, he says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep," in John 10:11. As Jesus told this parable, I wonder how many people in the audience reflected on Psalm 23. It's a portion of Scripture they would have been very familiar with, probably knew it off by heart. Jesus described the intimate relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd leads and guides the sheep. He protects them from danger, even to the point of giving his own life. There are numerous times in the Old Testament when God is referred to as a shepherd. So by calling himself the Good Shepherd, Jesus was revealing his divinity. He was also foretelling his death for us. And what was the people's response? You think they were like, "Wow, this is him. This is the long-awaited Messiah." Was that their response? Actually, there was dissension that broke out amongst the people when they heard this parable of the Good Shepherd. Many even accused Jesus of being, get this, demon-possessed or insane. Quite the opposite of what we would expect. Others meanwhile argued that he couldn't be demon-possessed because he had healed the blind. A few months later, Jesus would lay down his life for his sheep when he died on the cross for our sin. He made a covenantal promise in this passage, and he kept it. He died for us so that he could deal with our sin problem, because we couldn't deal with that on our own. But he didn't stay dead. He rose to life again, conquering Satan, death, and hell, and he made it possible for us to be in a loving relationship with him. His desire is to be with us. His death, burial, and resurrection secures that for us. We can live with him forever. God with us here at CBC, at Community Bible Church. Today is Celebration Sunday here at CBC. On September 9th, 1979, Granton Community Bible Church launched its first service in the community. Five founding families formed the core of this new church. Over the years, God has proved himself to be faithful to us. He's been faithful in the good times and in the challenging times. Rejoice today that God is with us. Can we see a show of hands, maybe here this morning, of people who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior through the ministry of Community Bible Church, whether it be while you were here in the building, when you're pondering on something maybe you heard in a sermon or a Sunday school class, or maybe you weren't attending CBC yet, but someone who attended CBC spoke to you, shared the gospel with you, and you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Can I see a show of hands today? There's a lot of people here today who have been eternally impacted through the ministry of Community Bible Church. That's amazing. That's the faithfulness of God being with us. And may we see many, many more people come to know Christ through the ministry of this church, this flock, if you will. May it always be said of our church that we wholeheartedly love and serve the Shepherd King, Emmanuel, God with us. We have nothing to fear because God is here. So how does this apply to us today and through this week ahead? It was an interesting thought about sheep. There are a number of different animals and birds that the good Lord created that are kind of individualistic. They go out and do things on their own. But sheep are not like that. It's even interesting that singular, it's sheep, plural, still sheep. Why? I'm not going to go into an English explanation of that. I don't know what it is. But it's interesting to note that sheep are used as an example. Sheep flock together. They thrive when they're together. When they're isolated, they can't defend themselves. When they're isolated, they're, well, alone. And they do not thrive in being alone. We as a church thrive best when we are together, when we're not individually on our own. A few years ago, we went through a pandemic, and at that time, there was a lot of isolating that happened for medical reasons. It's tough for the soul when you can't be with your flock. So it is so wonderful that we can be back in our flock again. And perhaps you're watching online today and you're saying, I can't be with my flock because of just physical disabilities. And you miss that. You are still part of our flock. If you can't be here in person today. And we want to connect with you as well. So if you're someone watching from home or a hospital bed, Brian, please reach out to us, to your flock, and we promise to be with you, just as God promises to be with us. What do we do with this passage of Scripture? First, we rest, knowing that God is with us. That's our starting point. God with us. This week, pray and ask God to reveal to you how He is present in your life. You may be going through a really hard time right now, and there's nothing more you need than for God to put His arm around you and say, I'm with you. Pray for that. Perhaps there's something you've been hanging on to that you really need to let go of. Maybe it's a bitterness, maybe it's a habitual sin, maybe it's whatever. Lean into God. He is with you. He wants to share that burden with you. He wants to forgive you. Lean into God. Thank Him every time you see Him show up in your life. First, ask that He'll reveal that to you. Second of all, thank Him for it. Thank Him for being active in your life. Then faithfully follow and obey His lead. You know what? Sometimes God shows up through a person. Maybe even the person who's sitting beside you today leans over and gives you a word of encouragement. They are being God's voice to you. It's demonstrating God with us. So perhaps that's the Holy Spirit's going to be prompting you this week to be that person to lean into and encourage someone else. Faithfully follow and obey his lead. When you hear the Holy Spirit working in you to be a blessing to someone else, do it. Ask God to reveal growth areas in you and then act on them. So as we wrap up this portion of the service, I'd just like to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you love us, that you care for us, that you come alongside us, that you are with us always. God, we are thankful that we have your word, your promise to be with us. God, we thank you so much that we have the Bible in our heart language, that we can read it, we can ponder it, we can think on it, we can apply it in our lives, that we can be an encouragement to others. But God, thank you so much that you loved us, that you died for us. Even when we were still enemies with you, we wanted nothing to do with you. You still came and died for us, suffering the most painful and humiliating death known to man. And yet you did it willingly. You laid down your life. No one could take that from you. And you did it willingly for us. So God, we thank you for that. May we live lives that honor you. God, you've made a covenant with us to be with us, to be present in our lives through thick and thin. God, we pledge back to you our love and devotion to you. Help us, Lord, in those difficult times when we're tempted to sin, when we're tempted to disobey. Help us to remember your sacrifice for us, and help us to love you well.